As we turn to God's words, and you know that we have been preaching through the parables of Jesus, the three parables, and we have preached the two parables already, the lost sheep and the lost son, the lost coin. Today, I want to pick up the last of the three, and that is one of the most famous parable in the New Testament. The lost son or the prodigal son. So this passage Jesus tells, actually is telling us the character of the God we worship. Jesus is revealing to us this God we worship is God full of mercy, is God who is compassionate. And Jesus was, why he told this story was against the background of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who got like the wrong idea about God. They got the wrong idea about God. They were so righteous in themselves, to the disadvantage of the sinners and the tax collectors. And so Jesus told these three parables in a response to these men who were ridiculing him and criticizing him of showing kindness and welcoming sinners and tax collectors at his table. But now he is telling them that this God I represent, Jesus says, is not the God you worship. And I think this parable also should serve as a warning to us, as we will see as we go through it. It's a warning to all of us of the true character, lest we miss. Because Jesus tells us of a man who has two sons, and the two sons represent the whole humanity. The two sons, even though I'm going to focus on one son, but actually the two sons, one son is trying to go and live independently of God and think that things can go well with him. And the other son thinks that by his own self-righteousness that he can earn God's approval, and still things can go well with him. Not the two sons, neither the younger or the older that is in the right. They are all prodigal sons. They are all prodigal sons. They missed the pot. And today is so dangerous for us to live like the younger son or the older sons. And Jesus is saying, what is the right way to live? But before we get into that, let us see what happened. These two sons, Jesus revealing his true conditions, his sins. This younger son once said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate. Give me my share of the estate." So, of course, Jesus was telling this in a society that has norms, social norms, that really no one can act in isolations of this or independently of this social, customs. No son in his right mind can come and say to his father in that community, that, "Father, give me my share." So you see what Jesus is trying to reveal clearly. Give me my share. Give me my share. Give me. And the language itself, you see, it shows that this boy has lost his way. Give me my share. He has the right. When in those days, really, it was not natural for a son to come and do that because the father is still alive. And also, it was not his will. He's the one to initiate. But here, the son is so bold. So this is the boldness with which we show rebellions and rebellious heart. So this boy, he said to his father, and that was not acceptable. And let us see what happened. So, and his father, you know, is allowed that. Why his father allowed that? Well, Jesus is trying to reveal to these people that, look, God is not a God who is quick to fix things. He wants us really to hit the bottom so that we will appreciate when we come back the grace and the security that lies with him. So the father knew that, let this boy go. Because when you have something and you don't appreciate it, it's not good. Like the older son. The older son is not appreciating what he has. So this boy, he was given all that he needed. So we see from verses 13 to 15 how this boy is descending. So when we want to live away from God, it won't take that long before we could hit the bottom. So this boy, he gathered all that he had and then set off for a distant country. He set off. He had nothing to do with his family anymore. And so now he went into a far land where he can live a life that he wants. He got money, of course. He got money. And the money, perhaps he sold the lands and all the money that he had, and he gathered them all, and then he went to a far land. A land, perhaps a land you could see that this is not a godly nation, because the Jews were not having pigs. They were not really, it was not one of their business. It's deemed as unclean animals, and a Jew person has nothing to do with pigs. But this man, going to that country where there's a lot of business in the pigs industry, so we can see that this boy has went to live in a country where God is not honored. And when you live in a place where God is honored, you are open to all sorts of possibilities. And so this boy, he went and he lived wrongly with prostitutes and life unbridled sex and also with no budgets. And so he used up all that he had in a short time. His wealth were squandered in wild living. And the Bible says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine. So now here, you see the covering is removed. So from wasting this money, and then his troubles was going to be gratified by the famine in the land. And so there will be no possibility for him to get even a job. And so nothing. There was a famine, and people were holding to their needs, to their own stuff, to their food and to their resources. And then this young man, he began to be in need. He began to be in need. He used all his money in a wild living. Sin takes people down. Sin led this young man to go down. And now the only resolve is to go and find himself a job. And then the Bible says he hired himself out. He hired himself out to a citizen of that country. And now he is going to work for the citizen of that country, a citizen of another country. You see, a man who perhaps a Gentile, he is not a God-fearing person. He's looking after his pigs. And so the young boy started even to be hungry. Even he was longing even to fill his stomach with pots that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You see, so he was in real trouble. So he was longing even to eat the food that was given to the pots. You see, because he couldn't just take it, because everything is calculated. He was a hired man. He was living under the mercy of those people. And so that is how he went down. He went down that far. He went down that far. But there is a turning point in the history. And this turning point, we don't get to it easily. And I should have said earlier that this young man who was living this type of life, he must have tried different ways to get out of his situation. So we know how he have tried this. He went to find a job, a proper job, but he couldn't find a proper job. And then he was happy to go with what he had to earn a decent income. And so he ended up working in a field that he wouldn't want to be. So we see how even the food that he would eat also was just like really down. So this man, he just came to the end of himself. He came to the end of himself. And so nothing in his circle would give him a decent life. So because this young man was coming from a beautiful home. He was coming from a beautiful home. And Jesus is in application, we will see what Jesus is trying to tell us. So this young man, what happens when he assesses his situation? He thought of finding solution, but there were no other place to go. The son decided to confess to his father. The only place where he can regain his dignity was to go back to his father, was to go back to his father's house. But that didn't happen just suddenly. The Bible says he came to his senses. He came to his senses because we can never figure out the solution without really coming to our real senses. The young son's attitude now is going to change. He started to talk to himself. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." This word is called soliloquy. He was speaking to himself. And so I think it's very important sometimes for us to speak to ourselves. Because this young man, he started all this by speaking to himself, saying, perhaps painting a good picture of his life away from his father. And I think this is the temptation of every human being on this planet today. We paint the pictures of the life we should have in our own minds, and there the troubles begin. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of this young man to descend down. So be aware of the things that you think about. Be aware of how to vision your life. It's so dangerous to do that. This life is not your life. You have been given this life by God. And he wanted you to live it in a certain way. A way that he only can design. If you are going to be a happy person, like this young man who was trying to seek happiness and joy away from his father's home. How many of us today, this world today, is trying to live away from the father? It's a fatherless world. When God is the father, and this is the trouble that the world is facing today, the world is trying to live this life away from God, apart from God. And it can't be. The result is that we will descend to associate ourselves, to be stripped of dignity, and we'll be just associating ourselves with things like pigs. Let us not be polite as we approach this, because this is the reality. This is the center of our troubles, as those who have been created after the image of God. Those who have been created by God himself, and he redeems as well. So this young boy, as he began his problems with thinking that he was going to have a good life, now also his restoration will begin by also thinking, by coming to his senses, by coming to his senses. Because he went very low. And in God's eyes, he was dead. The son knows he deserved nothing. From his father, But he was prepared to go back even to be like a hired servant, though he was a son in his own family. So he was going to just to be happy with the social scale of to be just at the bottom of the social scale of his time, his culture, his community. That was what was going to happen. So this man, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Not just like food to eat, but even to spare. But he himself, he wouldn't have even something to eat, even a leftover. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, Father, I have sinned. Father, I have sinned against. Now what we see here is after he comes to his senses, and now he's about to confess his sins. He wants to confess his sins, how he sinned against his father. His sin, he said, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so he got up and went to his father. Many years ago, I used to sing this song. Now on my way to my to God, rejoicing on my way back to God, and now on my way home, rejoicing. And this boy is going to rejoice as he will go home. So the father's loving response. So we have seen the predicaments. We have seen this young man, how he has gone low. But the turning point began as he came to his senses. There must be a turning point in our lives. There must be a turning point in our lives. Let us not think that this life can just go on like this. There must be a time where we have to assess our situations and really make the right decision. And this decision is just only to come back. Just to come back and confess and proclaim to God that we have sinned against you. The son approaching his father, his house, his father's house. He was coming from a distance. And then what happens? The Bible says, while he was still a long way off, the father, though humiliated by his son, though his son went and wasted all the wealth, although this son made a terrible mistake by exposing his father in his own community, what was that saying? It was saying, this man, he is not respected by his own sons. And this man cannot be respected in our community. He cannot rule his house well. And we have this qualification in the New Testament. When someone is trying to become a minister, a pastor, they say you have to rule your own house well, and your children should listen to you, and so forth. Well, these people, they read it from the Old Testament and see this man is being humiliated. His son asking to take away his wealth. He's not listening. We have read in the Old Testament that in the Old Testament they used to bring a rebellious son before the elders of Israel, and they are stoned to death. But this father wouldn't do that. And now this son, he is coming back. He was coming back because when he was away, the father was longing for his son to return, revealing to us the clearest picture of a father's love. For his son, contrary to Deuteronomy 21, when he should be stoned to death, no, the father wants his sons restored. He wanted him alive. The Bible says, when he saw him from a distance, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. It's the father who saw him, we are told. The father saw him. His father saw him and was filled with compassion. The father was filled with compassion. This is a compassionate God. He was filled with compassion. and see his actions. What did he do here? He ran to his son. These actions are out of place also of the father. So in those contexts also, a father wouldn't do something like that. He can't run to a son. It's the son to run to the father. You know, many of you know that I've come from a tribal background. In South Sudan, I can identify myself with this exactly. If our father has gone, because he was a teacher, sometimes he would travel to the capitals to bring the salaries because he was the headmaster. And so like for a month, and we would be just longing for our father to come back. And when we see him from a distance, we would just run out. And three of us, then we will be racing who to reach our father first. And there we will wrap our arms around our father and we will kiss him. And sometimes even we will cry. Just like being united with our father and we will come home. But here the opposite is true. The father is the one who is running out. Something I have never seen in South Sudan. And of course, even in Israel, it was not the norm. So this father was going out of himself to show us the heart of God, the heart of the Father, and his readiness to restore us, the readiness to reverse our condition. Once we were close to death and humiliation and dead in sexual immoralities and all sorts of sins and yet he would want to restore us back. He would just run. He was filled with compassion and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. These are actions to show that God was revealing his incomparable love. He is a compassionate God. He wants to show us. Jesus, definitely, he wanted to reveal to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that this is a new era. The heavens has touched down. Jesus now demonstrating to them that this is the God I represent. And this is the God you should represent. And you, beware that you are going to end up like this older son who will go away from the house. But now he is receiving these sinners, tax collectors, as the young son. I'm not using allegory here, but we can see clearly that what is happening here. So this man, this boy, he wanted to again to say his phrase, the soliloquy, what he told himself, that he was going to tell his father, "Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son, just only if you could accept me as..." But even his father would not allow him to finish the sentence. So you could see here, even the sentence is shortcut. It's cut short. The son said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the other part is not recorded again. The first part, because he said, "I have sinned," earlier in verse 18, "I have sinned against heaven and against you." Verse 19, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." There he said, "Give me," but now he said, "Just make me." His language has changed. There is repentance here. And this boy is returning to his father. "I have sinned against heavens." So confession is important. Acknowledgement that we have sinned is important. Acknowledgement that we have touched the bottom, because this boy couldn't descend any further because he hit the bottom already. Perhaps our troubles today in our days, we don't think that we have hit the bottom. Still, we have things to hold to. And the father is going to celebrate. But let us see. The father said to his servant, even his father wouldn't speak to him. His father would want to bring the best robe and put it on him. And the best ring on his finger, and the sandals on his feet, and to bring the fattened the fattened calf and kill it. And then there is a feast and celebration. For this son was dead and now is alive. This son was dead and now is alive. So repentance and salvation is life out of death. So what is the application for us today? Here we see this. There is a possibility for a new beginning. Fresh start with God. Because God is God of second chances. And so he's still longing for the world to turn to him, even though we hit the bottoms. There is a chance to put things right with God. There is a chance for every human being here on this planet to be right with God. For the salvation is for all. Those who came to Jesus have realized that a love. Jesus is a loving man. And his message can bring them to God. Because Jesus here, through these sinners, they can't just come closer to Jesus in vain. They must have realized in Jesus the one who will forgive them, the one who will accept them. So here there is a chance for every person who is not living with God rightly to come back. So this parable is to help us that there is only one person also to turn to. Because this young boy, he tried everything and nothing worked. Perhaps all of us also, we try everything and it won't work. This boy, he tried, he turned to the people of that country and no one to give him a proper job. Even no one would want to give him anything to eat. So only to turn to God and to ask for mercy and forgiveness. No one could help that young man, and no one can help anyone in our times except to come back and give ourselves to Jesus and to see how the heavens will celebrate. Because that was what Jesus was saying, that there is a celebration. I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And now there is rejoicing over God showing his mercy to this young boy, to this young man who has touched the bottom, who longed to be restored to his status. This young man past is fixed, and there is celebrations in the presence of God to show that there is a break away from the past. Now here this boy, he is not the same. This boy, he came back and he has been reinstated to his status. He went to be a slave, and now he's a son. The son of mine was once dead and now is alive. The parable of the prodigal sons raises really a lot of questions. Even some scholars would want to say, perhaps this young boy is not the prodigal son. Perhaps the father is the prodigal father. So here in his love, we have seen that he was just doing everything against the norms. But why he wouldn't want to do that? When he is God himself, Jesus is speaking to us about God himself, who has created everything and who is beyond reproach in his character. The history of the lost son should teach us today that really it is very important that we live with God in the right perspective. This would be my last application. Because it is so dangerous to be in a house when we think that we deserve everything. Even all that we have today from God is out of his mercy. It's out of his grace. And this should humble us. But unfortunately, the pride is is what ruling our lives. The pride that thinking that we know better, that we can live better even, that we can hold to our own ideas and our own thoughts, and still we can be right with God. Well, it's not with these texts. It's not with these texts. Until we come and we say we don't deserve, I'm not worthy even to be called a son. I'm not worthy to be protected. How many are prodigals in our time today? Let me tell you a story. On Tuesday morning, even here in Mulgrave, in my house, I was praying with my wife when our children were doing their remote learning. And there, a young man in his early 30s landed at our backyard. He was so desperate, running away from the police. Little we knew that the whole area was heavily attended by the police. Police car everywhere. Policemen and women in uniform with guns and everything were there. And this young man was running through different fences, and he landed at our backyard, a narrow backyard. And I was still praying. My wife was trying to grab a toast for Emanuela, and she said to me, "There is someone here." And when I got up and I saw a man desperate for his life, he was running away. He had a bag at his back. And he wanted to come in on the side door, and we couldn't open that for him. And I asked my wife to go upstairs to be with the kids as they were doing their remote learning. And I was going to see what was going to unfold. He didn't know what to do. He tried to open another gate that was going to open outside. But the other side was really very open. Perhaps he thought to himself that he will be seen easily. He tried everything. He was so desperate, I could see. But I was calm watching him. And then he ran at the back, and then he opened the back garage, and he got in. At that moment, a thought came to my heart, and I pressed the button of the garage to open the front garage. And when he saw that was opening, and then he wanted to emerge and to go out, and there he was confronted by the police. And then they came back again, and my car was in the garage. It was just so tiny. And eight of them, they squeezed themselves behind this man. And again, they corner him against the glass. And they sprayed him with all the guns pointing to him. Things could have gone wrong. This boy, he was a prodigal boy. And there he started really to struggle. He couldn't breathe. They were asking him, "Are you breathing?" And so they knocked at the glass, and then they said, "Water." And I started to supply water, cold water, and they poured them on this boy, this man. But I was praying for him. But the police were really very tender too. They were not very hard on him. In fact, one of the police women was just really desperate too. And this man came to his senses. I mean, he came to be awake, and they arrested him after that. And actually, the police thanked me for my help, but it was just normal. My heart was just for this young man. So this young man, if he knew that he has resources with God, his Father in heaven, he would not have lived that type of life. He got all sorts of weapons in his bag, different keys like to steal or to do things wrongly, because that is how he thought that he could gain money to live. But if he had known only that God would want to welcome him as a son in his own house, and to be celebrated, and to be provided for, because that was what happened here. There is a ring. I don't want to allegorize this. King. He got ring. He was something he wouldn't wear usually, normally. But here, a young boy in the city wearing a ring of gold with new sandals, perhaps from the most expensive leather, to show that there is provision with God, and there is dignity, there is glory. Why would one want to leave away from God when he all are here? Well, I pray today that if you hear his voice, you will not harden your heart. You come to your senses. Actually, the word senses here is souls in other translations. His souls came back to him. I pray that we will not be proud in our own souls, in our own minds, and want to live independently from God. Arrogant and proud is what I struggle with. What I see even in the Christian church that is hindering the use of God is the pride. We think we know everything because we have more than all that we need. When actually we are called to give up everything for the Lord so that we can know the provision of God. But we are, unfortunately, we are providing for ourselves. And what we are providing for ourselves is not satisfying us. It's just like leading us away, like this prodigal son. And then we engage in just living for ourselves, for the things we have gathered for our lives. And now we don't know the celebrations of God. We don't know his blessings. We don't know his presence. We don't know his heart. And we don't know his power and his might. Today is the day of salvation, is a day of restoration. That way we will abandon our own thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his own thoughts. And let us again live as those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And to go about the business that Christ has called us to do. We have seen this in the New Testament. The apostles themselves, they knew they didn't have any life apart to give themselves fully to the things of God. Were their needs provided for? Yes, they were provided for. If we do this today, we will be able to know the depth, love of our God and his heart. Let us not say, give me my share. We have no share. Let us say, just make us even like your hired men. Provide for our needs. We don't have any right to any wealth, to any security, to any dignity. Let us be willing to bear the shame of Christ as he bore our shame on the cross of Calvary. And he redeemed us once and for all to God his Father, and he destined us for glory. And that is what he is wanting us to do. We have a great job to do, more than to just consume all that we have around us and to live luxurious life and think that this is a blessing from God. I am not worthy, let us say. I am not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy. And then we will hear him bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Because that is what it is. This is how we can feel God's hearts when we are alive to him, abandoning the things of this world. Because it's only a living person can walk with the living God. Amen.